so that we have a plan of how this will be carried out from year to year. And provide the staff, find staff, support the staff. Also, engage in communication with all the parties involved, the homes, the school, the church. Provide finances, oversight, and also evaluation. It's a large task that's set out for the board. And what I want to explore with you here is how that task can be done more efficiently by the use of committees, subcommittees. Board committees, board subcommittees. And this can be done if it's a large school or a small school. If you have a board of only three and parents, eight parents or five parents, or whether it's a large school with a board of five or seven and 100 parents, it can work in either way. And so there are some purposes. First of all, why would you go, if you have a board and they're supposed to do this, why would you set up committees? Well, one purpose is to do the footwork, do the necessary groundwork that's needed for the task at hand. And so, for example, if it's finding teachers and locating some people, doing some preliminary interviewing, and this will come out more as we look at some of the other specific committees. But to complete the necessary groundwork, to do the legwork, it's very inefficient with all that needs to be done, oftentimes for the whole board to give itself to all these details. And then bring recommendations to the board for action. A second purpose is to improve the efficiency of board deliberations and board meetings, so that when you have a board meeting, you have a lot of the homework and groundwork has been done, and you have prices, you have recommendations, you have evaluations, and now you simply are ready to bring this to final conclusion and make decisions. And a third one, and this is a huge one, to utilize the skills and interests and availability of additional people in the work of the school. Every community has people with gifts and interests. God does give different gifts to different people. And I remember one school, I was involved in the startup of a school some years ago, and there was something for literally everyone to do if he was at all willing. No one could say, no parent could possibly say that they're just doing this thing and I don't have any part in this. There's plenty for everyone to do. There are people with particular interests. Some people are interested in books, in the learning part of school, in curriculum. Some people are interested in building and grounds and facilities. Some people are interested in procedures and finances and technology and so on. And there are skills out there in the body, in the community, in the church, whatever, or in the parent body. And there are needs that the school has. And involving people with the talents and skills and interest in the work of the school, by use of committees, this can be done very, very efficiently. So how do you go about doing this? Number one is to appoint a board committee has one or two board members on the committee. Oftentimes, that person may chair the committee, but not necessarily. Not every board member likes to chair a committee. He may be more useful on the committee as a member of the committee than as chairman of the committee. But it's critical to have a board member closely involved or on the committee, because after all, this is a board subcommittee, and that person is the person then who is able to take recommendations from that committee back to the board and also knows in an ongoing way what the committee is doing. And then you make up the committee with that board person or two, along with a few other parents or other people, not necessarily parents. who have the particular interests, skills, or experience that fit that committee, and that'll come out as we look at different committees. And then the other how is that the committee knows what it's supposed to do. It's given an assignment. It knows what it's to do. It does its job and brings, as a committee, comes to conclusion, brings its recommendation to the board. And then there are other kinds of work that a committee actually does. It does its work. For example, a library committee may actually arrange, purchase books, arrange for the library, and so on. So what I'd like to do now is walk through the 8 different committees. There are, and I'm not saying that every school ought to have these 8 committees. These are ideas. As always, in a meeting like this, you take ideas and you adapt to your situation. But one committee would be a finance committee, and the whole area of finances, there are so many things to discuss. Things such as the budget, creating a budget, and just the whole discussion of salaries and benefits for teachers, ideas for salaries and benefits, what's legal, what isn't legal, how can we support our teachers financially? How do we set the tuition? How much? And how do we collect it, and who collects it, and how? And do we have fundraising activities? Are we going to have fundraising or not? And if we do, what's our philosophy of fundraising? There was one school I was involved in, philosophy of fundraising. We have, in fact, there are a church school. We decided early on that we would not have any fundraising activity that simply involves buying cheap and selling high. We talked about the hidden curriculum here earlier, and you have to be aware of what you're teaching your students through fundraising activities. And there are all these organizations that are all really happy to sell you anything from cookie dough to frozen pizzas, and you buy them in cheap and sell them at an exorbitant price because it's for the school. And over the years, anything from selling cards, selling magazines, whatever. And you hope people pay a higher price for this merchandise than they would at the store because it's for the school. And so, in a sense, are you saying, well, if it's for a good cause, you can overcharge? Or are you begging? Or what, you know, if you're going to beg, why don't you just ask? Anyway, now I don't want to get into a long discussion, but this is the kind of thing that a committee discusses. You see, there's discussion here. And you don't want to burn up all the board meetings discussing that because you have 20 other things that should be on your plate. And a committee has the time to discuss this and to do the groundwork. A committee might say you have a finance committee. In fact, you might have a separate fundraising committee from the finance committee. It could be. And a committee looks at a question like this and takes the time to do the legwork, to actually maybe talk to the parents and see what the interest is. Are you going to, do you have the energy and interest to have food stands at public auctions, for example, to raise funds? And so at our school, the committee decided that we would not have a fundraising event. And this is something that people actually want, if it provides a service that people want. And what's happened over the years is that there are twice a year, there's a sub sale. This is what it turned out being, and it involves primarily, it's a set procedure now where when it's time for the sub sale, there are order forms made up, and primarily these are distributed to different businesses and different employers in the area who have come to expect this, so much so that when the person shows up at the forum, they're glad to see this, and they simply put it in the lunchroom, people sign up how many subs they want. The money's collected, put in an envelope, and then when the subs are made, it's an all-school event in an evening. The parents and the families come, and this is an event. So it's something we all do together, and then they're delivered, and there are people who say, don't forget us when you have your next sub sale. And so it's possible to come up with an event that people actually look forward to. But this is the kind of thing that was brainstormed, discussed, and done in a committee. Bookkeeping procedures and the whole area of insurance, making sure you meet the requirements of insurance with your state, health, workman's comp, and so on. All these areas, there are people in your community who have, this is their niche. This is the way they think. They are finance people. You might have a board, and there might not be anybody in the board who really likes finances, but, well, you have to have a treasurer, so somebody gets that job. But when it comes to all the nitty-gritty, you can burn a lot of midnight oil with the board. If you have a board made up, let's just take finance, for example, and it's not their thing, you can be talking about things that you don't know about because, and it isn't your responsibility to know everything about everything. It's your responsibility to give direction to the school. And part of that involves knowing when you need to get expertise. And so you take one person from the board. If you have a three-man board, take one person from the board. He's on the finance committee, probably your treasurer. And then you look in your community and you find it might be a dad. It might be a 25-year-old single young fellow who is an accountant or works for an office, and you put him on the committee, whoever. You get that committee, and that committee is tasked with figuring out what we need to do with insurance, review our insurance, if we have any, and how should we do. Bring us a recommendation. Do the groundwork. And then they take the questions, do the groundwork, maybe call other schools, find out what they're doing, and do all that discussion legwork and boil it down and say, based on all that we've found out, this is a recommendation. We recommend that we do this, this, and this. That recommendation goes to the board. And, of course, the committee has to be able to explain it well enough to the board that the board understands, and that's a part of the assignment. It's good for a committee to have to do that, to articulate why they're recommending what they recommend. And then the board makes a decision as to what the salary will be, how the tuition will be, whether it's raised, lowered, and what the insurance they have and won't have, and so forth. And so moving on to staff committee, a staff committee includes, again, one or two members of the board and then some other people. Typically, it would include, if you have a principal in the school, the principal and one or two other parents or someone who is interested in this area. And this, you're faced with the needs of staffing the school. And this can include bigger questions. What teachers are we going to need next year or 2 years down the road? And also other kinds of staff, like teacher aides or other kinds of helpers, study hall supervisors or bus drivers or whatever, depending how broad that is. And then you face that question, who will our teachers be next year? And you can, these people actually do the initial contacts, trying to find potential teachers. And you don't, to be blunt, you don't waste the board's time interviewing somebody that's not a potential teacher anyway. Any recommendation that's brought to the board ought to be somebody that some people know about, have done some preliminary discussion with, and know that they're actually even interested and qualified. And then you bring that recommendation to the board for the board to have a further interview and do the hiring. Yes, curriculum. This is an area, somebody had to put a question in the question box, how you choose curriculum. A curriculum committee is it's a wonderful opportunity to involve everybody. In our school, the curriculum committee always includes, again, two members. We have a five-man board, so a committee typically includes two board members. And then here's an opportunity to include, it always has a teacher or two, the principal, and a teacher or two. It could be all the teachers, depending on how many you have. And then you include other people from the school. And here's an opportunity to involve some mothers on a committee. Because when it comes to curriculum, it comes to looking at some books and taking time to actually read through some books, maybe do some practice problems. And there are, and also some single people. Here's an area where you might have some alumni of your school, young people, or whatever, people who are not married and don't have families, but would have a very significant interest in the kind of materials that are used in the school or what's taught. And curriculum isn't just picking books either. It's talking about the big picture questions of the curriculum, thinking about the philosophy of education. If you're going to develop a high school, for example, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to think about. And you don't want to have some small group do a whole lot of work, a whole lot of groundwork, a whole lot of evaluation, and then bring this to a larger group and have the larger group feel that they had no voice in this and raise some objections and concerns and have to go right back to the drawing board and start all over again. You want to be sure in something like a curriculum committee that you have representation from the various players, representation from some parents, representation from some people who are really thinkers and like to read, who will raise questions and encourage you to be sure, if you're going to choose curriculum, that you include something that teaches this kind of thinking, for example. And so you want a variety of people on there so that the questions that might be raised at the far end when you introduce curriculum are raised early on so that you can discuss them as you think about a change in the curriculum. And their task is to get samples of curriculum in, review it, maybe have representation from publishers, and also on some of these things are ideal, but they really ought to be done, some evaluation of how your curriculum is working. How is what we are using in our school working out? Is it achieving what we want it to achieve? And if not, what changes should we make to improve that? And then another whole area, talking about curriculum, this is just a little sub-point here, D, under curriculum, but it's a huge one today, and it's the considering the needs of special needs students. And this is, again, if you try to deal with that whole question in your board meetings, why, you are either going to have midnight meetings, many meetings, or you might be out of your league because you don't have the time or the skill to, it's not your field to do the groundwork on the special needs and what's out there. But you, as a board, make sure there are people on the committee who are interested and will take the time to find out what's available. How do you get somebody tested? Who does it? Where can we find that? And then they can, once they've done their groundwork, they can bring that to the board and say, this person can provide that kind of test, and here's what some other schools are doing. There are many kinds of groundwork out there to be done. And as this is done with some parent representation, and notice as we look at these different committees, when it comes to appointing people on committees, you think of the interests and talents of your school body and say, what person, who would be some people who would really fit, some people would fit well in the curriculum committee but would have no interest at all in finance or vice versa. Moving on to property. Well, this has to do with the building and grounds. And as we talked, was mentioned yesterday, when you walk into a building, there is a feel to the building. There is a building has an atmosphere. I've walked into school buildings already that I felt somewhat, depressed isn't the right word, but I felt kind of I think you know what I mean, almost a downer. The building feels tired. Or you wonder, how would it feel to have to spend a day in this building? Maybe things were scuffed up, or maybe there's an odor, or maybe things weren't, there were holes kicked in the drywall and so on. And the property committee, this is their thing. And again, the board is responsible to make sure all these things happen, to make sure they happen. But don't think as a board that being responsible to make sure something happens and doing it are two different things. And so there are, again, representation from the board. If you make up a committee, it's ideally, it's nice to have a carpenter on the committee, maybe a mechanic, and somebody who has a feel for aesthetics, for what's clean and neat. And you think of things like cleaning and the playground, overseeing the cleaning and maintenance, make sure that's happening, have a plan, and oversee the plan. And also, if you rent out the building, by the way, if there's anybody here who doesn't have a handout, there are some copies, extra copies up here. If you have a facility like this that is available for rent, why this would fall under that committee to manage that. And simply to look at the facility as a facility, the playground, the parking lot, the grounds, and what kind of a plan is there for maintenance, how to, when something needs attention from something as small as a late ballast has to be replaced, how does that happen? What's the process so that it gets done? Going to the back side of your sheet. Library. This is an example of a committee that might be very much of a working committee. And so if you have a library, you have a representation from the board, and this one is one that you can use a lot of women on, because a lot of moms or people who are interested in books have time to read through those books before they go on the shelf. But first of all, at some point, you want to have some kind of a plan, some kind of a policy. Where are our books? Is there a collection in each room? Is there a central library? Is there a rotating collection? How do we go about placing books in the library? There are policies such as if somebody donates a book, can anybody that wants to donate a book and it goes right in the shelf? And who does it go to? How's it reviewed? And there has to be some kind of policy so that the person who wants to donate a book is not offended when it's not, we say, well, we're sorry, but that might be an okay book for the home, but it doesn't go in the school library. So you need to have some kind of a policy for how books are shelved and how they are read or approved. And then also, going a step further, you can also think about how this collection is used and how you can encourage reading, which is a challenge today to actually encourage children to read real books. And to do that, you're going to have books available for them. Actually, today, there are more books than ever published by our people. Christian Aid Ministries, TGS, is publishing books by the dozens. And all these publishers are coming out with new and more books, very worthwhile books. And just thinking of how we can have have these books accessible to the school and encourage our children to actually read these books. So this is something that once the policies are in place, there could be the committee might recommend to the board that there be a budgeted amount each year for the library or whatever. But a lot of this work, this is probably the best example of a working committee that is given a job to do. You find books in so many per year or whatever and report to the board on occasion. And then I'll just interject here. A board meeting then can often consist of going down the list. You know, is there any report today from the Finance Committee? Maybe there is none, because it's a time of the year that there isn't a whole lot to say. maybe you give the checkbook balance or whatever. Maybe there's nothing to say from the staff committee at this meeting, depending on the time of the year. And then when you've, that often makes up much of the meeting. Moving on to the parent teachers. My experience in several schools I've worked with has been that this committee was made up of couples. A board member and his wife, and I, for years, have been principal. My wife always went to those meetings too, and then there were, I think in the school now, there are two parent couples, and they rotate, and the chairmanship rotates too. And they're the ones who plan the parent meeting, and also a teacher, and that rotates among the teachers. Because when you're going to have parent-teacher activities, you want activities that actually engage parents and teachers with each other. If you're going to call it that, it ought to be a parent and teachers thing. And so you have a discussion, what shall we do? What shall happen? So in our school, this committee meets, only meets as a committee once a year. And they meet sometime late summer to plan the parent-teacher events of the year. And they're responsible for making up a schedule for hot lunches, for example. And also, then there are three meetings. There's a meeting early in the year, which often involves a lot of nitty-gritty planning, hot lunch schedule, and going over details for the year, having teachers talk a bit about their classes. And then the middle of the year meeting, if you're going to get turnout from parents, you want to have a very purposeful parent-teacher meeting, one that they feel is worthwhile for them, and not too many of them. And then you expect them to be there. And at the last, in the January parent-teacher meeting this year, they did again what they did a few times before over the years, and that was that they sat in big concentric circles, and each parent couple was asked to share something of their expectations for the school, either in the social area, academic, emotional, spiritual, and so on, to share their goals or visions for what they hope for from that their children get at school. A very interesting way to hear parents saying from their own mouth what they would like to see in the school. And so the parent-teachers' ideas for conferences, communication, arrange volunteer help in the school, and other events, anything involving parent-teachers. And if you're going to a committee like this, it really works best if a lot of the most ideas come from the parents themselves, from the parents and teachers. The board's responsible to make sure it's happening and to appoint appropriate people on those committees, and then the recommendations or outlines come back to the board. The board does approve it, but they don't spend all the time in planning this. And then this last one, a student body committee, it's one that for some years in our school we had when the school started, and then it kind of went into mothballs for a while, but just recently it's been revived. And that's okay. Don't keep a committee alive just for the sake of keeping a committee alive if there's not a lot of work for it to do. But then also don't be afraid to make a new one. Now, the student body committee, its purpose is to deal with issues that affect the home, the school, and the church, and the broader community. There are issues that affect them all, that no one is in a position to address by itself. And it's made up of members from the school board, from the teachers, from parents, and the church. And here are some examples of kinds of things that this committee discusses. Enrollment policies and procedures. When it comes to the question of who is eligible for enrollment in our school, if you're a church-operated school, you want everybody to speak into that. The church leaders, you, You want, when that discussion is underway, you want representation there of people looking at this from the perspective of the church, somebody looking at it from the perspective of the parents, because when you have other children in the school from other backgrounds, the parents are going to think about that interaction, and also from the teachers and from the school board itself. Another one to consider is to monitor and evaluate school culture. And so here's a committee. If you're not happy about something in your school culture, for example, suppose they don't want to sing, or suppose, the whole issue of dress, so some new fad that comes up, some new practice that comes up. If the school comes out and says, no, none of this or none of that, you may have parents being very unhappy with that and say, we just don't understand. If you just go with what the parents say, and I remember years ago, I heard, this is back in the days before live stream things, I remember some teachers saying, see, don't the parents realize the influence that it has on their children if they spend too much time watching DVDs at home? Children would come to school, this was some school I heard of, children would come to school wanting to tell their schoolmates about the DVD they saw last night. And there were several, and this was disruptive in the classroom. And so the teachers were frustrated. Well, this is a kind of thing that you want to discuss with all the players involved. And especially today, with dress code and the kinds of things that are done in the home, there it's important to have representation on this committee from parents and hear teachers talk about the frustrations they have in the classroom because of children who come to school sleepy or come to school with nothing but sugary drinks in their lunch. They come to school with nothing but candy bars and soft drinks. And the teachers are frustrated with this, and they just wish that they could talk. Where do you ever discuss this? And where is it safe to discuss it in a? And so you need a venue in which you have some parents and some teachers, somebody from the church. And when it comes to the whole area of the use of technological gadgets, there's where you definitely want spokespersons for the church and the school. You can't have the school telling the church and parents what to do. The school's not in charge of this. The school is a servant. However, you see things in the school. You see things happening in children's lives that you can't keep quiet. You need to share this somewhere. What's the proper way to do it? You're not going to do it. So this provides a way for at least to work at this. Another one is the whole preschool education in the home. Today, there are many children who are not, they don't know how to play, or life revolves around them. And this whole area of how we work with preschool, if you're going to start that discussion, how do you approach that? Well, here's another example of a task for this kind of a committee, where you have representation from the home, from the church, from the school, and then you can also, this committee might make recommendations for a parent-teacher activity, to have a speaker in. And they spend the time discussing, doing groundwork, making recommendations, and then they bring the proposal to the board, and the board then acts on that proposal. Or they might make a proposal to the board, and the board says, "Well, we need more information. You know, do some more work here." Something else that happens when you're working as a committee, there's a difference between having a formal board meeting and doing committee work. Actually, legislative bodies like Congress, they have official legislative sessions, and when they follow legislative sessions, there are strict rules that they go by. But sometimes they adjourn from the legislative session and reconvene as a committee of the whole, and then the rules are different. Then they can just talk and discuss things because it's off the record. It's not formal meeting. And then they reconvene in order to make the decision. And so the reason I'm saying that is when you're working as committees, while you are discussing, wrestling with issues, talking to people, maybe inviting somebody to come in and talk to the committee, getting information, taking your time, working through things, and that might, at some point, if you're choosing making some major change in some policy or a curriculum, you might actually convene a meeting of all the parents and discuss something. And then after that, then you might have some more committee meetings until finally you're ready to make some kind of a significant recommendation to the board that this is the stand we ought to take. And so, in summary, actually, this, in a school, it doesn't matter how small your school is, you have all these areas. You have anything from dress to finances to finding teachers and choosing curriculum and library books. If you have a school of 200 students or 15 students, you still have all these questions to address in some way. And you can be more efficient in your work if you create committees that does several things. The committee does their groundwork, brings recommendations to the board. It makes your board meetings more efficient, and it uses the God-given talents and interests and abilities of the body of people out there, and it actually it gives them a vested interest and an actual involvement in the work of the school. And you don't just invite them, you need them. And you invite their input so that, and you'll likely get more support. If the person who's really interested in curriculum is invited to be part of that, then he really feels he has a vested interest.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.